It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Verrett. Coming up, some philanthropists and billionaires are working to solve the world's oldest problem, death. We'll talk to a doctor and philosopher about the ethics of living a much longer life.
If you could live forever, or even for a whole lot longer than our current lifespan, would you want to? Is death a problem to be solved through science and medicine, or should it remain forever as a part of the human condition?
Now, for almost all of human history, these were just rhetorical questions, apart from rumors of a fountain of youth, legends of vampires, mortality, just part of the deal. But now, some billionaire donors are funding cutting-edge research that aims to dramatically prolong human life and to deal with death as a problem to be solved, not as an inevitability. According to the Washington Post, one funder, Larry Ellison, has expressed his hope that he could live forever. He's put over $400 million into the research effort.
The question is, would you really want to live dramatically longer, or even forever? And how would longer lives change our culture and our society? Here to explore the issue is Dr. Richard Gunderman of Indiana University, where he's a professor of medicine and philosophy. Dr. Gunderman, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks. It's nice to join you again.
Well, as a physician, what do you make of some researchers trying to solve what they're calling the problem of death?
Well, for one thing, I find death a useful deadline to have in life. As a as a professor and years before that as a student, I know deadlines were one of the most helpful tools I had to get my work done, and I suspect if I had an infinite amount of time to complete the projects in my life, I might get very little done. So, for one thing, I think having that deadline gets us living with some sense of urgency. And I think another advantage, so to speak, in facing the prospect of our own mortality is that it gets us thinking about purposes in life that transcend our own lives. You know, the legacy we want to leave to our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, and perhaps even to humanity. If we expected to be here forever, that whole issue of leaving a legacy might not even arise.
What about the way it's being framed by some researchers as a problem? Is that the right way to think about it, or is it just really a natural part of life?
Well, I spend a good bit of my time taking care of patients and using very sophisticated pieces of imaging machinery. I'm a radiologist, so I'm not an enemy of technology, but I'm also inclined to take seriously statements like, for example, in the book of Psalms, in the Bible, it says, "Teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom." I think behind that is the notion that if we recognize our own finitude, the limitations on our own lives, we might be in a better position to live wisely.
Yeah, you use the word wisdom there, which a lot of people, not all people, but a lot of people would say is one of the goals of life, to gather as much wisdom as we can over the years. Do you think that would go away if we had an infinite number of years?
I certainly worry about that. The 20th century poet T.S. Eliot said, "Where is the wisdom we have lost in knowledge? Where is the knowledge we have lost in information?" I worry sometimes that we live in an age glutted by information, but with an especially severe shortage of wisdom. And I think the idea that we'll just avoid death might prevent us from considering some of the most important challenges and questions that we human beings need to face up to.
I think a lot of people would agree that they'd like to avoid pain in particular, because it's so unpleasant. Do you think it's a given that most people want to avoid death?
I think one of the reasons people are uncomfortable with death is in this day and age, many of us have never seen it before. There's a great deal to learn from being at the side of somebody who's dying. And, you know, for much of human history, people died at home with their families. These days, we've tended to move death out of the home into places like hospitals and nursing homes and even hospices. So for many of us, death is a great unknown. And so that alone inspires fear. And then add to that to the problem that, as you say, many are afraid of dying in pain. Now, I have to say, in medicine today, we have a lot of tools at our disposal to prevent people from dying in pain. Another big fear dying people have is that they will die alone. And, you know, often we can assure patients and family members that we will be with them as they're dying. So I think there's a lot we can do to take away both the mystery and the pain and suffering associated with death. I'm not suggesting we can make it go away entirely, nor should we, but it doesn't need to be such a hulking mystery as it is for a lot of people today.
Why do you think it has been this persistent quest, though? The Fountain of Youth, myths about vampires, all of that. Why do you think it's been a goal for people to want to do this?
Well, you know, death is one of the great mysteries and one of the great challenges of life. Of course, it's not just a human challenge. So far as we know, every living organism is programmed to die. But the fact that we're conscious, you know, that we're aware of our existence and think about the future, I think it's a problem for us in a special way. And, you know, from my point of view, if we misapprehend the role of death in our lives, we're liable to be very afraid of it and to make some mistakes in life as a result. On the other hand, if we understand what death is and understand what it might contribute to the meaningfulness of our existence, you know, I'm not saying any of us should rush headlong toward death, but we might be a good bit more comfortable with it and might discover it has a whole lot more to teach us than we commonly suppose.
Right now we're talking with Dr. Richard Gunderman about the ethics of living a longer life as wealthy donors support scientific efforts to treat death as a problem to be solved and to maybe radically extend human lifespans.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Would you want to live a much longer life than our standard lifespan? How about forever? How do you see extending human lifespans changing the way our society works, the way we function as individuals, too? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking to philosopher and physician Richard Gunderman of Indiana University about the ethics of living a longer life. With some massive donations into research aimed at dramatically extending life and even solving the problem of death.
Taking your calls, too. How do you think extending human lifespan would change society, change our culture? Do you think it's a good idea for researchers to pursue death as a problem to be solved? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we go to our callers now. We have Judy on the line from Waukesha. Hi, Judy.
Hi.
Hi, what do you think?
I know right now that we have major issues because of the mental health treatment or non-treatment and the addiction non-treatment. If we could successfully treat everyone's problems so that they would want to live another life or a longer life, then it would be successful. But I think that they are so miserable and they cannot cope with the life that they have right now, and we don't do anything about it. That's why we have many of the shootings that we have, both on both sides, police and the people that are being shot.
Judy, thank you so much for your thoughts there. And Dr. Gunderman, she says mental health is an issue, so she thinks a lot of people would not want to live forever because we haven't done enough to take care of people's issues here in our normal human lifespan.
I think Judy makes a good point, and this is one that I've heard echoed by Bill and Melinda Gates, that before we, those of us who are very well off, spend a lot of money trying to prolong our own lives, we should have first attend to the needs of less fortunate people who may not have enough to eat or who are focusing diseases and homelessness and so forth, that we owe it to them to help make their lives better before we try to prolong life indefinitely.
We're going to go next to Sam. Sam joins us from Fond du Lac. Hi, Sam.
Hello.
Hi, what are your thoughts on this?
First I just want to say that I'm having one of those driveway moments right now.
Great.
But anyways, I kind of agree with the last caller in the fact, in the sense that I feel like it's just kind of a misappropriation of resources. I mean, there's people, you know, that don't have access to clean drinking water, you know, to live forever. And, you know, that's really not something to be afraid of. It's going to happen, you know. That, you know, that's what happens. You die, something else takes your place, you know. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you so much, Sam, for that. And, Sam, you're looking at the planet, resources, problems of pollution we haven't solved, and maybe fear of death, he says, is the bigger issue, not death itself.
Yeah, I think Sam's point, again, is a very good one. We face lots of problems in our day-to-day life now. One is what to do with a rainy Saturday afternoon. So before we try to prolong such experiences forever, I really think we could make a better use of the time we have available to us right now. And the fact that that time is not unlimited may, in fact, lead us to live with a sense of urgency, a sense of seizing every day and making every day count that could disappear if there's no end in sight.
Even though you, Dr. Gunderman, you put a premium on wisdom, on a life well-lived, on living with urgency, don't you find something seductive about the idea that maybe you could have not one or two careers, but three careers, that you could become a concert pianist, that you could, you know, explore relationships that you never have the chance to within your normal, you know, allotted 80, 90, whatever years? Isn't there something appealing about it?
Yeah, this is in fact the theme of, I think, one of the most philosophically sophisticated films to come out in the last few decades, namely Groundhog Day. You may recall that was directed by Ivan Reitman, I think, but anyway, starred Bill Murray. And, you know, he had the opportunity to live one day over and over and really to try out everything. And the notion was he eventually figured out what counted most in life, namely his relationship with a particular person. I don't doubt that it might be great to have a chance to experiment and try on a bunch of different lives, but I'm also concerned that that might lead us to lead with a certain kind of frivolity, as the character in that movie does, and that, in fact, having that deadline, knowing we can't make all the choices, I think leads us to make much more well-considered choices and then really dedicate ourselves to making the most of the lives we've chosen.
We're going to go back to our callers now. Rebecca joins us next from Pewaukee. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. I hate to echo everyone else, but it is, you know, one of those things where we're focused on longevity rather than quality, you know. And I worked in a nursing home for a little while, and there was, you know, you got to see a bunch of seniors at late 80s, early 90s that could never get out of bed without assistance. And, you know, they're living, but, I mean, to what quality?
Right. Thank you so much for that, Rebecca. Appreciate that. I know that's something that you've thought about, Dr. Gunderman. If research were able to make sure that our bodies were strong and healthy, would it become more worth it to you to live longer?
Yeah, well, that's a great point that Rebecca makes. And in fact, Peter Thiel, whom you quoted, and Larry Ellison, these are tech billionaires, the tech titans who are investing a lot of money in extending life. They clearly don't want to just prolong senility or dementia. They have in mind to extend, you know, vital life when mental and physical powers are at their peak. But, you know, whether that's possible is an open question. But what worries me even more about it is I'm worried that people who thought they were invincible, invulnerable, might lose something important that makes us human, namely our sense of compassion. I think it's in part the fact that we are vulnerable and that we do know our lives are coming to an end that enables us to feel for other human beings. And in fact, not just for human beings, but other creatures, you know, like even our pets. The fact we share that mortality, I think, enables us to be empathetic and to care for other people and other creatures in a way that might be much more unlikely if we weren't mortal beings ourselves.
And we leave it there. Dr. Gunderman, thank you so much for joining us. That was Dr. Richard Gunderman, professor at Indiana University. He was with us to talk about the ethics of maybe living a longer life.